Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go. It's hour two. It is great to have you here live from Los Angeles. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening, radio or TV, FS1, Fox Sports Radio. The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. 1 hour from now, they're delivering subs to the crew, and we love that. One by my house. Joy has a sub there once a week, you said?
It's my favorite. I love their lettuce.
I think everything's fresh cut. Everything's fresh chopped. They don't buy stuff in a bag. They all chop it fresh every day at the store. So there's 7 job openings in the NFL. Philadelphia, Chargers, Jets, Jags, Houston, Lions, Atlanta. And there's about 15. This morning we got to about 13, 14, 15 candidates. I won't waste your time with all of them, but there's some good, some not as good. And I thought, you know, let's play. I'm not making a prediction here. I'm not being an NFL insider here. I'm just telling you, what do I think fits the best? The city, the owner, the coach, his strengths, his liabilities. Again, this is not a prediction. This is Collins coaching carousel. These are the guys that I think fit the current NFL openings. Now, this is not college football where there's 160 Division I jobs or 130. There's 32 of these babies, yep. And they're all good. If you get the right quarterback, they're all great lifetime. The NFL pension for coaches is amazing. It pays great. You're getting coaches now making 9, 10, 12 million bucks a year in the NFL. Urban Meyer reportedly could make 12. Joy, here we go.
All right, let's start with the Los Angeles Chargers.
All right, I think it's the best job, so let's go get the best candidate, Brian Daboll. He's the Buffalo Bills offensive coordinator. Here's why it works. He worked under Saban. He worked under Belichick. He's had hard-driving people above him. We know he can play well with others. He was successful at both. The other thing is we've seen the development of Josh Allen. Well, Justin Herbert doesn't need the development. So he's inheriting a guy that looks like Josh Allen without his coaching. So to what level can they take that? He is also went to the same high school as the Chargers general manager, Tom Telesco. So they know each other. Anthony Lynn also came from Buffalo, so these organizations work well together. Brian Daboll, Chargers, to me, is the fit.
All right, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I would say Urban Meyer, they need a shot of relevance, and he's it. Listen, it's an apathetic market. It's a college market, and he's a college icon. Cap space, draft picks, they don't have a general manager, and he's going to want some say in personnel. He probably needs somebody to know the cap, not the players. He has a house in Florida. He previously called Trevor Lawrence the best college quarterback he's ever seen. And this feels like a fit to me. He's going to have the power. He wants power. He is a culture changer. This franchise needs a cultural change, not just a play caller. Urban Meyer's the best fit.
The New York Jets.
Despite my staff's misgiving, Jason Garrett. A very highly functional man, a little boring, but a highly functional man in a highly dysfunctional organization. He went to Princeton, Columbia. He grew up in New Jersey. He just spent the year in New York. He gets the media. He's got an Eli Manning, Derek Jeter quality. He talks but says nothing.
That's true.
So he never creates fires. He just puts them out. The Cowboys had the number 6 scoring offense when he was there. He had a winning record, but what I really like about it, he is a teacher. He is not a hype master. He's the opposite of Rex Ryan, who burned really hot in New York for about 3 years and then was sort of an eye roll. He's a grown man, Ivy League educated, played in the league, and whether they stay with Sam Darnold or go to Justin Fields, both have consistency issues. I think he can shore that up. Jason Garrett, Jets.
The Atlanta Falcons.
To me, Arthur Smith works. First of all, he has a house in Nashville. Southern guy. His dad, of course, the founder of FedEx in Memphis, knows the South. The Falcons are the team in the South. And by the way, Matt Ryan's there for the next 2-3 years anyway, so this is a guy that makes quarterbacks better. Look what he did with Ryan Tannehill. The other thing is he runs a similar offense to Kyle Shanahan. Matt Ryan knows the offense and flourished under the offense. I think he wants to stay this, you know, that side of the Mississippi. I think he has family there. In fact, I kind of know somebody in his family. I think this is a perfect fit. And by the way, it's nothing against Raheem Morris, but can we give Matt Ryan an offensive head coach for a change? He's had a couple. He's had Dan Quinn. He's had Mike Smith. I think it's time to give Matt Ryan, who you're going to be stuck with for a couple of years, and there's worse guys to be stuck with.
Right.
But I think he deserves an offensive head coach.
The Detroit Lions.
I'm going to go with Robert Saleh. I don't think it's a great job. He has a history in Michigan. First of all, their defense is terrible, and so they hire a defensive guy who knows defensive personnel. He is a motivator. I think he has a chance to be a culture changer. He's a big personality, good-looking, big-energy guy. This is not an organization that just needs a play caller. They need somebody to shake stuff up, walk into a room. He's a man's man, very alpha. And the Lions, he began his coaching career in Michigan, so he's got history there. He's close friends with Matt LaFleur, the Packers head coach, so I'm sure they've been talking for years about the division. It feels like a good fit. It's not a great job, but it feels like a good fit.
Houston Texans.
Eric Bieniemy seems obvious. First, Deshaun Watson. He wants him. Secondly, this is an organization where he's apparently not going to have, the coach is not going to have a ton of power, but what you're looking for is a bit of a play caller. I don't need a GM here. That's not what Bieniemy does. He dials up plays. And with Deshaun Watson, I think offensively, the Houston Texans led the NFL in yards per play. They've got a Kansas City feel to them. They got a star quarterback. They have good offensive line, at least on the left side. And the feeling is you're not going to have power there as a coach. But can you have a working relationship with your star player and elevate him? And I think he can. Remember, you just brought a Patriots guy down, so you're not going to have say in personnel. That's not. And by the way, Bieniemy doesn't want that. Bieniemy also worked with Patrick Mahomes, a young quarterback who likes to play sometimes off script, and Bieniemy's a former player who can handle the ego of a player, handle the independence of a star quarterback. I think he works.
Finally, the Philadelphia Eagles.
I'm going to go with a wild card. I'm going to say 31-year-old Joe Brady. Now, he feels young, but so did Sean McVay. Here's what I would say. You're going to get no personnel say here.
True.
Joe Brady's fine with that. Urban wouldn't be. Doug Peterson wasn't. There's a lot of coaches that want personnel say. You're not going to get it in Philly. And this is what Joe Brady is. By the way, Sean McVay, we never hear about him wanting personnel say with Les Snead. He's a coach. Brady's a coach. The other thing is they're really bad at wide receiver and they have a quarterback controversy. His strength is quarterback wide receiver symmetry. That's what he does well. Right now, the Eagles need to draft quarterbacks, wide receivers better. They were last in the NFL, lowest graded wide receiver group. And I know people freak out he's young, but Joe Judge is pretty young and Sean McVay is pretty young. Lincoln Riley's up for jobs. He's really young. Remember, we always say this. My son's much smarter than I was at 14. 31 is kind of the new 39 or 41, and I think he works. He doesn't bring the ego and the cachet of other coaches, and I think right now that team just needs somebody that can fix the offensive side of the ball because they got two stars on defense. They got to fix the quarterback, fix the receivers. So there you go. Those are my NFL fit. These are not predictions, by the way. I'm just playing matchmaker.
It's really strong. You might have a future in that.
Not terrible. I think that was pretty good, to be honest. Philadelphia is the wild card. I just thought to myself.
Well, no, it makes sense because he is young. You're not going to come in with the same cachet as a coach who has either been a head coach before or has been working through the coaching ranks for a very long time to get this opportunity and wants more say. It makes sense because you're right. You're not going to get any control there.
No.
So you have to be completely cool with it.
And the coolest guys, young people getting an opportunity, Sean McVay has never once pushed back on personnel. We've never even heard that story. Sean wants to coach. He wins a Super Bowl. Maybe he wants more say, but he hadn't gotten there yet. So, okay. So James Harden situation's interesting. I didn't like Harden when he came into the league initially. I think he's kind of a one-trick pony. I do think he moved his game a little to try to be a little better defensive player. But it is remarkable. Last night, he's gone for about 5-6 games. He's not in shape. He's dogging it. He's not putting up the numbers. And last night, it came to an end after their blowout loss to the Lakers. He finally admitted, I'm out of here.
We're just not good enough. You know, we don't obviously chemistry, talent-wise, just everything. And it was clear, like I said, these last few games. I love this city. I literally, you know, have done everything that I can. You know, I mean, this situation is crazy. You know, it's something that I don't think can be fixed. So, yeah, thanks.
Okay, this is not, in Houston, a Deshaun Watson situation where you've got, like, this weird cult-like sensibility. They've made really bad trades. The roster is uneven. You let go of a star. No, 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 no. That's not the Rockets. The Rockets had the 65 wins and 17 losses just 3 years ago. Their roster was stacked. James Harden, Chris Paul, Clint Capella, P.J. Tucker, Trevor Ariza, Eric Gordon, Gerald Green, with a guard-friendly head coach. James Harden had a perfect NBA coach and backcourt for him. Chris Paul's the guy that wants to defend. Clint Capella wants to defend. Trevor Ariza wants to defend. P.J. Tucker wants to defend. Eric Gordon will defend. You didn't even have to defend much. This is not Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson's unhappy because weird stuff is going on. They built him the palace to win, and he can't work with anybody. Nobody's ever called him out. Like, I'll say it again. James wants a title, but doesn't want to put the work in for the title. Whenever you win in the NBA, you got to sacrifice something. Kevin Durant goes to the Warriors. You sacrifice shots. LeBron goes to Miami. It's his city, not really yours. You got to sacrifice something. James, what are you giving up? Because you want a title. What are you giving up? Because LeBron has had to give things up. He gave up money in Miami. He went to, by the way, he gave up a roster and went to a free agent deathbed in Cleveland. Then a dysfunctional Laker franchise. You think LeBron's going to the best place? No, he's not. LeBron's got Miami was good. Okay, I'll give you that. But Cleveland and the Lakers, LeBron sacrificed things. He didn't go to the best roster in LA. He didn't go to the best roster in Cleveland. So what are you willing to give up, James? Because I've seen Steph Curry sacrifice shots and money. I've seen Kevin Durant sacrifice money. I've seen LeBron sacrifice money and functional franchises. They did everything for him. Everything for him. They built the palace, and he's not willing to give up the ball or give up the attitude. This is on James, not everybody else. Warren Moon, Chris Broussard, Brian Billick. We got a lot of stuff today. There's stories developing. The Urban Meyer thing may break before the end of the show.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Saturday on Fox, the Rams take on the Packers. Packers coverage begins at 2:30 Eastern. Then on Sunday, Tom Brady and the Bucks square off with Drew Brees and the Saints. At 6 Eastern, the NFL Divisional Playoffs presented by TurboTax Live on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
Really like the Packers in that game. Monitor Aaron Donald's health, and I think Tampa keeps it close but loses. Warren Moon's in the Hall of Fame and the Canadian Hall of Fame. He's their greatest player as well ever. I grew up watching him at the University of Washington. 17 years he played as he got up there around 40. Nine of them a Pro Bowler, and he is now joining us, the Pro Football Hall of Famer Warren Moon. So it's interesting. I'm not generally, Warren, a huge fan of quarterbacks demanding a trade, but I do think Houston has shown an inability to function at even an average level for the last couple of years. And you do get to a point where, listen, pro athletes got about 10 years to hit it. He's had two ACL surgeries. He may be halfway home. Were you ever in an organization where you felt you just didn't have support? I got to get out of here, because that's kind of what I feel with Deshaun right now.
You know, I felt that way when I first went to Houston after they fired Hugh Campbell, who was my Canadian Football League coach, and they hired him as the coach in Houston. They got rid of him after a year and a half, and And I just felt like there wasn't enough time for him to turn things around because we took over a pretty bad franchise at that time. But they eventually got things turned around and we became a pretty good football team. But yeah, you have those days where you don't know if you're going to get the support that you need moving forward so you can be a successful football team. And I'm sure that's what Deshaun feels right now, as he's had a couple of good years there winning the division. But this year, they just didn't put out a very good product on the football field in Houston. And he had legitimately some MVP numbers this year. You know, he threw for 33 touchdowns, over 4,800 yards, yeah. 70% completion. But you'd never know it because they didn't win any football games. So I'm sure he's a little bit soured about that and the fact that they just haven't put a very competitive football team on the field. And he wants to know what they're going to do going forward as they need to. Now they feel the general manager's role, but they also need to feel this coach's role.
They're the opposite of the Miami Dolphins. Miami did everything right but struggled at quarterback. Houston does nothing right except the quarterback. So let's shift to Miami, where there are a story today in Miami where three players told the Miami Herald they don't see anything special with Tua. And with Josh Allen in their division and Belichick in their division and maybe soon Justin Fields in their division, Tua doesn't feel like there's a lot special there. So you tell me, is it too soon? Or with all the coaching kids get now at 13, 14, 15, 16 years old, do we have to be more demanding your first 10 games as a pro?
You know, they do expect a lot more out of you as a high round draft pick, especially as a quarterback. But I think in Tua's situation, he deserves a little bit more time because, one, this is a guy who most people didn't think maybe would ever play again. Now, all of a sudden, he comes into this season. People didn't think he would play at all this year, if at any, at the end of the season. So they put him on the field pretty early, and he had some success early, but he's still a rookie, and I think he still deserves a chance to go out there and show what he can do fully healthy, not coming off of an injury and having an offense that's more catered to what his abilities are. I don't know if that offense was catered to what his strengths are into this season, but I think with the new offensive coordinator, whoever they hire, that should be a guy who can take advantage of what his strengths are, and then we'll be able to see who the true Tua is.
So it's interesting. Kansas City made a very interesting decision. They didn't play Warren particularly well in December. They were rusty. And then they gave Mahomes week 17 off. And with a bye. So here comes Cleveland. Cleveland's feeling themselves. They're playing every week. They got momentum. So I want you to go to your career. You would think, you know, Mahomes, Warren Moon, you never lose confidence. You don't. But I sit there and I think, 20 days, that's a long time not to play. Are you a little worried about rust and trouble for the Chiefs?
You know, I do worry about that with most teams because that is a long time to be off. And as a football player, you want to get into a rhythm and you kind of want to stay in that rhythm. And I even remember when I was with the Oilers my last year, we won 11 games in a row. And then we had the overall record, the best record. So we had a bye that first weekend. And we stood around for 2 weeks waiting to play. And we were a little bit stale when we came in against the Kansas City Chiefs and Joe Montana, and they had already had a game and they were in a rhythm. So I think it does play a part depending on how well you manage that time when you are off. But 3 weeks is a long time, and you do worry about rust. You do worry about a team not being sharp when they first come out. And you don't want to let a underdog on the road get ahead in a game like that, because that's going to make it that much tougher to beat them if you come out a little bit stagnant offensively or defensively. So, yeah, that's the only thing that worries me about the Chiefs. The good thing is that they're rested. They're pretty healthy, and Andy Reid has a great record coming off of bye, so I think he knows how to handle his football team, but it does bother me a little bit. Yeah, that is a long time for anybody to be off from playing football.
So we have a history in the Pacific Northwest, and the Seahawks just were an enigma wrapped in a riddle. They got healthier at the end of the year offensively and somehow got significantly worse. They fired their offensive coordinator yesterday. It looks like a power struggle that one of them wanted to run, maybe one didn't. I don't know if Pete Carroll and Russ are the perfect combination. I think Pete likes defense and running games to win, and Russell wants to get out on the edges and do amazing things, but how do you explain the erosion of Seattle's offense post-Thanksgiving?
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with what they said they fired Brian Schottenheimer about, philosophical differences. I think, like you said, Pete wants to run the football. He wants to be a little bit more balanced than what the Seahawks were at the beginning of the season, even though they were throwing the ball all over the place. But they were winning football games, but it was, you just knew that somewhere along the line that was going to slow down. It always does. Every team starts out the season throwing the football all over the place, and it's somewhere during the season, maybe fifth, sixth game into the season, you settle down into the season and people kind of figure out who you are, how to stop you and stop the best things that you do. And now you've got to become what your bread and butter is. And they didn't really have a bread and butter after that. They wanted to be more of a running football team, but their running backs tended to be nicked up and they didn't have that one bell cow that they could just really rely on week in and week out, yeah, like they did when they had Marshawn Lynch. So if they want to become a more balanced football team going forward, they need to find out who that bell cow is going to be that they can rely on each and every week. That's going to give them somewhere between, you know, 80 and 110 yards a weekend, and then have a passing game that complements that. But they didn't have that this year.
Finally, Warren Moon joining us. You played until, how old were you, 41, 43? How old were you?
44.
Oh, my Lord. I thought Phillip Rivers played well. Breeze and Brady looked good. I thought Ben looked old. I thought he looked tired. It's not there. I thought in his last 7-8 games, he had one great half. That was against the Colts in the second half, where I really felt something happened at halftime. He had maybe it was a Red Bull. He had a lot of juice. But he looked old this year at the end. When did you know, I'm done? Like, was it practice, your legs? When did you know?
It was off-season training for me. I just didn't want to train and get myself back in that type of shape, because as you get older, you have to put more time in to get yourself ready to play. And that's when I knew I didn't want to play anymore, when I didn't have that same desire to go out there and, you know, and run the bleachers and, you know, run 200-yard dashes and all the different things that I did to get myself ready to play, all the weight training and that. So I knew I had had enough, and I don't know if Ben is at that stage right now, but he did look tired towards the end of the season. And you can't expect a guy who was coming off of a major injury like he had with his arm last year to throw the football 68 times in a playoff game and expect to win. So the Pittsburgh Steelers have to figure out how they can become more of a balanced team next year and be more of that power and physical running team that they've always been known for in the past. They've got to get back to that so they can protect whoever their quarterback is from not having to throw the football that many times to stay in a football game.
Yeah. What's the most you ever threw the ball in a game? What was the most attempts?
I think I threw it 61 times once against the Dallas Cowboys, but we won that football game.
Did you have to ice your arm, or was that, I mean, does it feel different?
No, it didn't feel any different. If anything, I love throwing it, but I like throwing it when you want to throw it, not when you have to throw it.
That makes a lot of sense.
A lot of sense.
Hall of Famer Warren Moon, friend of the show. Good seeing you, Warren.
Good seeing you, Colin. Take care.
All right, you too. Men across America love Tommy John underwear. Keeps everything in place. Go to TommyJohn.com. Code HERD, 15% first order. Go to the website, TommyJohn.com/herd. Save 15%. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line News, sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
Well, the Eagles fired Doug Peterson on Monday and have already contacted a potential replacement. Philadelphia reportedly reached out to Oklahoma head coach Lincoln Riley to gauge his interest in the job. Riley's been at Oklahoma since 2017 with a record of 45-8, and he coached Jalen Hurts during his one season as a Sooner. And obviously Jalen was pretty successful there with his time with him and finished second to Joe Burrow in the Heisman voting in 2019.
He can do a lot very quickly. He turns guys, you know, like Parcells and Urban turnaround teams. He can take a quarterback. Remember, Jalen Hurts was a little bit of a reclamation project. He takes a quarterback. Spring practice, fall practice, Heisman level.
He's incredible as a coach. If he's going to make the jump to the NFL ranks, I don't necessarily know this would be the time to do it.
That's right.
This is the position that you're looking at. Philadelphia is a disaster. More and more, the information that we get from what actually went down over this past year in Philadelphia.
Scary.
It's terrifying if you want to go in there and have any level of success.
Here's the good news. Oklahoma is a top five college job.
No, he has no reason to leave there.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, outside of Texas, you line up every game with better players. Like, in the SEC, you can be Alabama. You still have to deal with Florida, Georgia. They got real NFL, LSU. 2 years ago, LSU had better players than Alabama. Oklahoma faces one team on their schedule every year that is close to having their level of players.
No, he can have a really nice legacy there and continue on doing that for as long as he wants to and make the jump to the NFL pretty much at any moment. That's what he's built, isn't his reputation there. The situation in Philly, to your point, you have to bring a young guy in or somebody who has been waiting for an opportunity to be a head coach for a very long time who's not going to want control. I don't know why this happens, but we see it all the time in organizations, generally organizations that haven't done a lot of winning before, where you win a Super Bowl and then all of a sudden it becomes a scramble for the credit, which has always blown my mind because no one person made this happen.
Right.
And if you're not actually on the field, you really don't deserve that much credit anyway.
Right.
Because you didn't do it.
Right.
You physically did not make this happen.
Right.
Plenty of credit to go around, but yeah. Then the next year comes around, someone pushes for a little more power.
Yeah.
Who probably doesn't need it.
That's guys.
And then there's a little more struggle over this side, even though they don't really know what they're talking about.
Guys.
And then it just snowballs into this power war. And the reality is the way that you won was everybody did what they do to the best of their ability without egos.
See,
organizations that are consistently good to great
have a hierarchy.
Have a hierarchy and they stick to that. It's not about, oh, I get the credit for this. No, my credit rolls into your credit and we are a team.
Joy, that's not the way guys work.
The
Joy.
Ravens, Eric DaCosta, well, Ozzie Newsome when he was doing it. The Steelers, well, despite what happened, that disaster, they are consistently a good team.
Joy,
why?
We're men. We want power.
I'm going to stop trying to understand the male ego. All I'm saying is this is not how it works. What worked for you? Why are you changing what clearly works?
You're stealing my wife's copy. You literally take what she says and bring it to my show.
We're brilliant women. This is what we do. We were born in the same
day. I don't get a break. Between you and Anne, I hear the same messaging.
You're very lucky. You are surrounded by brilliance at all moments. So the Bears announced that they will keep head coach Matt Nagy and GM Ryan Pace for the 2021 season, which I think is the right thing to do. However, they will not receive contract extensions, which is,
by the way,
not my favorite.
I will say this. I don't have to love something. Like, Ryan Pace, I have questions about. But if I think it's the better thing to do, like, I don't have to love every decision a team makes.
Sure.
But I think stability is the winner here. I still have major issues with Ryan Pace, but to his credit, he's built a hell of a defense. So what you and I don't have to love a decision, but sometimes it's the best option currently available going forward is okay.
The only thing I don't like about people that are coaching or working on a final year of their contract without an extension is they tend to make decisions for now instead of for the future. So even a tiny extension can sometimes give someone a little more flexibility and stability in those positions, and then they make better macro decisions. And sometimes that's what you need. Like, if you're coaching to try and keep your job right now, or you're in GM and you're just trying to keep your job right now, you're going to make immediate decisions.
No, that's fair.
That may affect the future, future of the team. So Nagy has 2 years remaining on his deal. Pace expires after this season, but they're also losing Chuck Pagano, who has decided to retire after 2 years with the Bears. That's a major loss.
Yeah, Chuck's a very good defensive coach.
Yes.
I didn't love him as a head coach, but I thought he was a very good defensive
coach.
Their
defense was fourth in the league in points allowed per game and eighth in the league in yards allowed per game. This year, they took a little step back, but that's a really good defense that he built there and that they have in Chicago. They need a quarterback, and they need to get everybody healthy.
You know, he's got a house up in Idaho. What I would do, the Boise State's got a new football coach. I'd have Pagano stop by twice a week, like Marvin Lewis did at Arizona State. Twice a week, come coach my coaches over at Boise State. That's what you do with these NFL guys. They got a lake house up in Idaho.
Just cut them a little consulting
check. Just say, here, I'll pay $150 a year. Come twice a week to practice. Just talk to our players about the NFL. That's what Marvin Lewis did at Arizona State. Coach my coaches. Because I'm a head coach. I can't. That's where, if I, NFL guys, just watch our practice. Kind of sit
just
around.
Let us know what we're
Marvin
doing wrong.
Lewis. Marvin Lewis, Arizona State. Just kind of hovered around the practice. And it's like, that young coach here. It's like, head coach has got to recruit. NCAA, he's got a chancellor to deal with. I thought Herm Edwards was brilliant. Just, I want to bring Marvin, I'll give you free golf at the local golf course and a small salary. Watch my coach's coach.
Finally, Kyrie Irving has already missed 4 straight games for personal reasons. He reportedly won't be back with the Nets anytime soon and is expected to miss tonight and Saturday's game as well. The NBA is also reviewing a video where Kyrie was at a family member's birthday party without wearing a mask. Then last night, he was spotting attending a virtual event for the Manhattan District Attorney candidate while the Nets were about to start playing. We're showing some of the video that the NBA is investigating to see if this was recent. Yeah, I don't know what to say about Kyrie anymore. Gotta be honest with you. I can't relate to this.
Yeah.
I think in the beginning, you know, anytime you hear personal reasons, everyone's a little cautious. You don't want to say too much. If it turns out it's something that they're dealing with, it's very serious.
Right.
You know, you get a little bit of grace that, okay, you didn't contact this coach, but maybe it's just like too dramatic
right.
to have gotten to that point yet, and they'll sort it out. It's pretty clear at this point that that's not the case. I know everyone like immediately rushes to mental health and all these other
situations.
Yeah, I don't
know about that stuff.
Like,
I don't have any opinion on that.
Nobody wants to speculate on that.
Yeah,
and,
that's
as
bad.
You shouldn't. But you, like to Nick Wright's point earlier, and to really where everybody has landed with Kyrie at this point, you have to go to work.
Yeah.
And if you're not going to go to work, you have to communicate why you're not at work.
And that's the key. You got to give us a heads up on this.
Right.
I can't disappear from Fox for a week. If I did and said, I need a break.
Yeah.
But you got to call people. You got to give them a heads up.
But yeah, you have to call and say, I need a break. And then that's it. Like, you're an adult. Yeah. You're responsible. You're there. You're here every single day. You're on time. You will get the grace period to take the time, whatever you need to sort it out. But this is spiraling very quickly. And unfortunately for Kyrie, because he's built the reputation that he has, a lot of people aren't surprised. And this is an opportunity for people to come at him. But you're creating the situation.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
Chris Broussard will answer some of these questions. He's tied in. He is next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Let's not waste any time. Let's go to him live. He's on the East Coast. He's our Fox Sports NBA analyst. Chris Broussard is now joining me live. A crisis with Kyrie Irving and the Brooklyn Nets. Let me start with this. Everybody's walking on eggshells. I don't know what it is, but let me just ask you a pointed question. Does Kyrie want to play pro basketball anymore?
Colin, I think that's the main question. That's what this boils down to. The evidence would tell you no. It looks like Kyrie Irving no longer wants to be a professional basketball player and all that comes with being a pro. I was told, Colin, a few years ago, I think it was a few months before he and KD went to Brooklyn, by a couple of executives. We're just talking, and they told me, they said, don't be surprised if Kyrie Irving just shocks the world one day and decides to retire out of the blue. Now, they were speculating, but they were doing it based on his personality and the moves he's made in the NBA. Then in 2017, he was on the road tripping podcast with Channing Frye, his former teammate, and Kyrie said that one of his best friends has told him he will be the Lauryn Hill of basketball, meaning he'll retire before he's through with his prime. And then in June, about 6 weeks before they go into the bubble, remember what he said on this big call with all the other players, over 100 players. He said, I'm willing to give up everything for social justice and social reform. So I really think that Kyrie Irving, it seems like he no longer wants to be a professional basketball player. What the Nets have to do is get to the bottom of this as soon as possible. I'm sitting him down, talking to him on Zoom, whatever it takes, and I'm asking him that question pointedly. If he says no, he's going to retire. But if he says yes, I still want to be a pro player, I'm taking that, and then as soon as I'm done talking with him, I'm on the phone calling teams trying to trade him. Because you can't, I'm sorry, as great as he is, I can't trust him. Is this going to happen again? I can't trust him as my leader.
Kevin Durant, does it look like this morning he made a massive mistake leading a more selfless star in Steph Curry?
What KD did, and he would deny it, I believe, is that he let all of the talk, he let the narrative get to him. And that's one thing he didn't do when he went to Golden State. Remember, he didn't care about what people said. People were going to rip him for going to the Warriors, a 73-win team. He didn't care. He did what he wanted to do. I think, my opinion, is that he let all the talk about, oh, they were cheap championships, there's an asterisk there, anybody could have won those rings. And I was in that boat, too. I believe those. He was great, but, you know, that team was stacked without him. I think he let that get to him and want to go somewhere else where it was his team and prove that he could win rings on his own. Again, I think he denied it, but I think that's the case. And here's the thing, Colin. KD, as great as he is not a leader. He's a follower. And he picked the wrong guy to follow. Kyrie's the leader of that team. You watch him on the court, Kyrie's more vocal. Kyrie's got the ball in his hands. Kyrie's determining who gets the last shots. You could tell. And he's the leader, but KD picked the wrong guy to follow.
James Harden, I actually think it works in Philadelphia. Ben Simmons trade kind of feels like it works. What is your gut feeling we see in the next, well, before the trade deadline with James Harden?
Well, you got to trade him. I mean, it can't drag out that long anymore. I thought it could because I thought Harden would have enough pride to go out and play at his best, even though he wants out of Houston. I thought he'd want to get his 30 points a game. I thought he'd want to still be, you know, play like one of the best players in the world. But he's tanked. I was wrong. He's out there playing at half speed and not being himself. So they have to trade him as soon as possible so they don't poison the locker room with his attitude and his apathy. There's reports coming out now that they're talking now with Brooklyn and Philadelphia. I'm with you. If I'm Philadelphia, see, Philly, don't play the long game. First of all, who knows how long Joel Embiid is going to be healthy and playing at this level, okay? Trade Ben Simmons for James Harden right now.
Yeah.
When you have a chance to win a championship in the NBA, you can't wait. You can't talk about the future. Go for it now. So they need to make that move. If I'm Brooklyn, now I don't think Houston would do this, but I'm offering Kyrie Irving for James Harden.
Yeah.
I don't think they do that, but that's where my conversation is starting.
Boy, how about Steve Nash? Steve Nash lived out here in L.A. on the beach, got a beautiful house, got a great life. He said, I'm going to go into coaching. Oh, my Lord. I mean, I look at that situation, and I just think, I think you put it best. I think sometimes in life, who do you choose as your running mate? And I think some guys choose the wrong running mate. I mean, it's as simple as that, right? It's the way it works in basketball.
Yeah, no, absolutely, absolutely. And look, we'll see how this plays out with the Nets. I don't know. I don't know when we're going to see Kyrie Irving on the court again. I think the challenge for the Nets is if you did try to trade him, he might just walk away from the game.
Yeah.
We don't know. And I don't think it's a mental health issue. I think Kyrie is different. And I think some of it's admirable. Like, he does, you know, do a lot of charitable stuff that people don't give him credit for or talk about. I think he really is all in on the social justice fight. Here's what I would say to Kyrie, Colin. He can do more for social justice and reform as a superstar NBA player with all his fame and his platform and all of that than he can as just a rank and file activist out in the streets.
Yeah.
And then when you retire, you're only 35. So he'll be young enough to dedicate all of his time to the cause or whatever he wants to do. So I would say he needs to think about that because he does sincerely seem all in on the activism, which I like, but you have to keep the main thing, and his first thing is to be a professional basketball player.
Chris Broussard, way to go. That's that soft, cushy NBA media. You came with a little attitude today. I appreciated that. Thank you, Chris.
You stirred me up. You stirred me up.
All right, Chris Broussard. Life-changing sleep. It's about what's underneath. That's why you go to Casper.com. Only a Casper mattress gives you all those cooling, supportive gel pods. Casper.com. So we got our NFL. I love today. I did my NFL best candidate, my perfect candidate for every NFL job. The more I looked at it when you put it on the screen, the more I liked it.
Cupid Colin.
Yeah, like. Love connection. And now I'm not making predictions. I'm not saying these will happen.
Right.
But I think there's certain, I mean, fit matters. Like Jason Garrett to the Jets. He's a grown up. He's from the area. They need quarterback and offensive line elevation. That's kind of what he does. Like Brian Daboll He was a high school teammate of Tom Telesco, the GM. And what they need is a guy that can guide a young quarterback. Some of these jobs, some of these fits, Arthur Smith, Southern guy, wants to stay there. Matt Ryan knows his system, flourished under his system. Hour three next, The Herd.